Our scripture reading is Hebrews chapter 11, and we will be reading the first three verses. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here this morning, Lord, to sing praises to your name, to worship you through fellowship of believers, Lord, through the study of your word. And Lord, we just pray that this morning is honoring and glorifying to you. Lord, we just ask a blessing upon Pastor Craig now as he brings the message of your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, John. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, and we're going to be talking a lot about faith over the next weeks, Lord willing. The last time that we were together in the book of Hebrews, and it's actually been a couple weeks now since we've been here, but we noted that the author was encouraging his readers to live by faith in God. And now here, right here in chapter 11, he gives us at least 18 examples of people from history who did. Really, the number of examples is even more than that because he cites several specific instances of a few of these people, and he gives some instances in which he doesn't actually name the person that he's talking about. But the words, by faith, are used 18 times in chapter 11. And the author begins his discourse here in this chapter by describing exactly what real faith is and what real faith does in the life of one who practices it. Okay? Now, there are a lot of misconceptions in the world today about what faith is. Faith is not affirming something to be true. Faith is not affirming something to be true. I once read a book in which the author gave a list of positive affirmations that I should say to myself every day. Okay, claiming that if I will this to be true, it will become true, and stating that this is faith. This is faith. Well, that is not faith, and I might add unbiblical, okay, because its basis is in self. Faith is not believing something in spite of the evidence. Faith is not believing something in spite of the evidence. There are world religions and philosophies that are built on believing something in spite of evidence that shows it clearly to be wrong. Okay, they're built on imagination and fabrication. That is not faith. That's superstition and unbiblical, I might add. For its basis is in a lie. It's in someone's imagination. Faith is not a feeling. Just follow your heart. I can't count how many times. In fact, that is a very, very popular philosophy in the world today. Just follow your heart. In fact, Disney movies are riddled with that philosophy. If they don't say those words exactly, they say something very, very similar to it. But faith is not a feeling. That's faith in the wrong thing. Because the Bible, Scripture, says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I have seen much sadness come from people who have followed their heart. That is unbiblical, and it can lead one to even deceiving oneself. None of these things that I've listed, and there are more that I could list, but none of these things match what God describes concerning real faith. And therefore, not only can these things that I've listed be an embarrassment to a person, but it can even be an embarrassment to God if one of his children falls prey to one of these philosophies. Here is a simple definition of faith, and I might add too. Not only is it embarrassment; it could be embarrassment to us and embarrassment to God, but they are all limited in power because they are limited by us. Here's a simple definition of faith, and perhaps I've oversimplified it here, but here's a simple definition. Faith is believing the truth and responding in accord with it. That's faith. Faith is believing the truth and responding in accord with it. In fact, biblical faith, as we're going to find here, is really, it is confident obedience to God's word in spite of the circumstances and in spite of the consequences. Because the circumstances, at least in our eyes, they may look impossible. And the consequences may seem very, very frightening to us. But faith, really, is obedient confidence in God. In his will, the fact that he will do what is right and best. Again, faith is believing the truth and responding in accord with it. And we're going to find a minimum of 18 examples of that in this chapter. Now, we're only going to look at the first three verses this morning. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, God describes and illustrates what real faith is and does. And in fact, in the first three verses of chapter 11, I've heard many students, in fact, I've used it before as a definition of faith. And I don't think one would be wrong in using these first three verses, the first verse in particular, as a definition. But I actually believe it's perhaps more of a description of faith than it is a definition. Because what we find here in these first three verses is what faith is and does. And so that you and I might have real faith and operate by real faith, We are given here in these verses a description of what real faith is. We are given what real faith reaps, and we are given what real faith enables in the life of the one who exercises it. And therefore, our subject this morning is real faith. From Hebrews chapter 11, again, just the first three verses. Not so much a definition, but rather a description. It's only fitting that having read in this letter to the Hebrews about the superior person of Jesus Christ, having read here in Hebrews about his superior priesthood, that we now come to a superior principle to live by, and that is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. And the author begins with what real faith is. So our first point this morning, what real faith is, look at verse 1. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In a sense, faith is being confident and convinced when you and I may not have all of the details, okay? It's really believing what we've been told because of who told us. Several weeks ago, we had a couple who wanted to come up to Cedar Mountain Retreat, our camps up in southern Utah, and they wanted to go up there so they could help bring some of our teen campers home after the week. Now, they had never been up to camp before. In fact, all they knew about camp is that it was in the mountains someplace in southern Utah. That is all they knew about it. I was hauling the kids up. It was early in the week. They wanted to help haul kids back. So I told them, we were kind of pressed for time, and them having never been up there, I told them, if you will go to the River Valley Bible Church website, I have on that website some detailed written directions and a map that can guide you step by step right to the camp. And that's all I told them. That's all the information that they had, okay? Well, Friday morning rolled around, and it was time for the campers to go home. And guess what happened? Nobody came. That's what you would assume. But no. They were there, right on time, exactly where they needed to be. And as I asked them, did you have any problems? Said, no, we just followed the directions, and we're here. Here we are. They were right on time. That took faith on their part, didn't it? They trusted in me, which wasn't the best thing, okay? But anyway, they trusted in what they read on that website. They'd never been to camp before, but they got on that website, they read the instructions, they followed them, they didn't doubt it at all, and they ended up exactly where they needed to be. They were confident and convinced of the substance and evidence they had been given. Now, had they got up that morning and got in the car and just started driving, thinking that sooner or later I'm going to hit Cedar Mountain Retreat at some point, repeating over and over again in their mind, Cedar Mountain Retreat, Cedar Mountain Retreat, I'm going to Cedar Mountain Retreat, believing in their heart, I'm going the right direction. I just know I am. I can feel it. They would not have made it. They would not have made it. They're pretty intricate directions to follow. That right there, that is not faith. That is blind optimism, foolish, and unbiblical, I might add. Verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Really, we learn two things about what faith is here. First of all, real faith is confidence in God. Real faith is confidence in God. It is a confidence based in reality and truth. Your translation might have the word assurance or sure there in verse 1. My translation has the word substance, and that's really exactly what it means. Faith is what we stand on. It is under a substance. That's what faith is. It's what we stand. And our foundation, what we are actually standing upon is faith in God. God is our confidence. Proverbs 3:26 says, "For the Lord will be your confidence." He is why we can have faith. It has nothing to do with us and everything to do with Him, His will, His word, His power. So faith is confidence in God, and also real faith is conviction from God. It is being convinced because He said so. Once again, your translation might read conviction or certainty. Mine reads evidence, and that is exactly what it means. Faith in God is the evidence. Faith in God is the proof. Faith in God is what convinces us to act the way we act and do the things we do. Faith is being convinced by God. It is why we can be, you and I, can be certain about our future, even though we can't see it. God's word is evidence of this. It's the proof. It's what convicts us. It's truth, reality. It's not blind faith. It's not simply affirming something to be true. It's not a feeling. It's substance and evidence, confidence and conviction, assurance and certainty in God. Even though we have not physically seen God, nor His Son, our faith can be based firmly in reality and truth. I mean, the first thing that I think about when I read these verses is the saying, and you've heard it too, I'm sure, seeing is believing, right? Seeing is believing, or I won't believe it until I see it. But seeing something is not necessarily, or I should say, not a necessity of believing. And I just want to try a little experiment for a minute here. I want everybody to close your eyes. I promise I won't play any tricks on you while they're closed, but I need everybody to close your eyes. Really do it. Really do it, okay? And I'm going to ask you a question. By show of hands, who here is confident and completely convinced that I am talking right now? Show of hands. All right. You didn't see me? Go ahead and open your eyes. You didn't see me do it. I was actually thinking of having a pair of funny glasses on when you opened your eyes again, but that would distract, and now that I've even brought it up, I've distracted. But anyway, you didn't see it. So in reality, hearing can be believing too, can't it? Well, you've just proved that. You've just proved that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "In Him, Jesus, in Him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, He said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." But He goes on and says, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Real faith is being confident and convinced of the truth, whether it is visible or not. That is what real faith is. And we can have it because God has spoken. He has spoken. Next, we are given what real faith reaps, what real faith is. We've seen what real faith is, what real faith reaps. I have a nephew named Braden, who when he was just a little tyke, he's just a little guy, like 4 or 5 years old, he had a faithful confidence in prayer that was just incredible. Jesus talks about the faith of a child, all right? His parents had several stories of instances in which his prayer brought almost miraculous results, okay? But once when we were all camping together, my brother's family, our family, we're all camping, I was trying to light the gas refrigerator on our camp trailer. And I couldn't get it lit. And I tried at least for 30 minutes trying to get this thing lit. And we needed it lit or else food was going to spoil on our trip here. 30 minutes I was trying and I couldn't get it lit. So my brother, he said, ask Brady to pray for it. So I did. And he did. And when he was all done praying, He looks at me just so casually says, "Go light it now." And I promise you, the first try it lit. It lit. Not only did Brady become a hero of faith in my eyes that day, but it opened my eyes a bit wider to the power of prayer said in unadulterated faith in God. Now, that doesn't always mean we're going to get our way, okay? God has a will. We're praying to find out what that will is. And when we pray in that, God will answer. He will answer prayers. Listen to what real faith reaps in our passage, just verse 2. And it's a very, very simple statement here. But here's something that real faith reaps. Verse 2, is he says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Two things here that real faith reaps. Real faith, first of all, reaps attestation before men, or the attesting of men. Okay? Just like faith obtained a good testimony for my little nephew Brady, who is now a big kid, okay? And I have had him pray for other things since. The elders, or more accurately, the men of old, those faithful believers from the past, have become known to us, even famous to us, because of their faith in God and His Word. To the degree that God has etched their names in His eternal Word for all and every person to see and learn from. They are our heroes. They were men just like you and I, but because of these acts of faith, they are now heroes. While many of their faults are recorded in God's Word, they obtained a good testimony. They are known mostly because of their faith in God. Real faith reaps attesting before men. But even more importantly, and perhaps the emphasis in verse 2, is real faith reaps approval from God. It reaps approval from God. The truth be known, until one places his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, all of their works are as filthy rags before God. But Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." You and I, we have access to God by faith in Jesus Christ. And now our works done in faith actually please God. He is pleased. When we trust in God and act upon that trust, God approves. It pleases Him. In fact, we're going to spend a little bit more time with this in a couple of weeks. But faith is not just one way to please God. It is the only way to please God. Down in verse 6, the author doesn't elaborate it in the first three verses, but peek down at verse 6 for a minute. He says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." There are countless things that are thought, said, and done every day in the name of God, but only those things that are done through faith in God please Him. And from verse 6, we learn that God is not only pleased as we have faith in Him, but He rewards it. He rewards the fact that we have faith and the fact that He will reward us. That's actually how verse 6 reads. We'll get to that in a few weeks, Lord willing. These men of old have been rewarded. And one of the ways they've been rewarded is through this chapter. They have been commended. They have gained approval, obtained a good testimony, a report. Could that be said of us? A man fell off a cliff, and just shortly after he dropped, he managed to grab onto a tree limb. And he's hanging there, and it's like hundreds of feet below. And it's just fearing for his life. And he was all by himself, but he just starts shouting out, "Help! I need help! I need help!" And he does this over and over again. And finally, after a long time, he gets an answer. "I am here. I can help you." And he says, "Who are you?" And the answer is, "I am the Lord. Do you believe in me?" And he's hanging there and says, "Yes, I believe, but I cannot hang on much longer." And the Lord said to him, "If you believe in me and you trust me, just let go of the branch." Is there anyone else up there? Are we known for our faith? Do we truly trust God in those intense times in life? Do we truly trust God in the not so intense times of life? Would God commend our faith? Because that is what real faith reaps. It pleases God. It pleases God. So we've seen what real faith is. We've seen what real faith reaps. And then lastly this morning, what real faith enables. There are some things that are enabled in the one who trusts God. Look at verse 3. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen were not made of things which are visible." This is a very profound verse. Really profound verse, because it reveals faith in God, really, as the most practical response to everything we see around us. In fact, there is nothing more practical, more intelligent, and more powerful than faith in God. The world begs to differ, though, don't they? The world says visible stuff, the universe, came from visible stuff. But it has no answer to the question, well, where did the first visible stuff come from then? You see, that's not very practical. In fact, there's nothing practical about that line of thought. The world has had countless philosophies concerning the meaning of life, and has actually now come to the conclusion that there isn't one. Not only is that not very intellectual, but it's rather depressing. The world says that there is no right and wrong. It says the truth is not absolute but relative. That what is true for me may not be true for you. And I say, is that an absolute truth? You follow that? Not only is that a powerless statement, but it's impractical and unintelligent. There is nothing more practical, more intelligent, or more powerful than faith in God. Real faith enables, first of all, in us, God's perception. It gives us understanding. It says, by faith, verse 3, we understand. Faith enables us to understand things that God understands. God understands perfectly how the universe originated. And he's told us. He was there. He spoke it into existence. And by faith, we can understand that too. We can look at the world as God does, and understand exactly why things are the way they are. And by faith in God and his word, we can even understand not only how God did the things that he did, but why he does some of the things that he does. Now, we do not have the mind of God. We are incapable of understanding everything that God understands. But faith enables us to understand things that the world simply cannot understand. Real faith enables God's perception. Real faith enables God's perspective. The things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We can see that, okay? Faith enables us to see really what the world cannot see. We can see that things, stuff, was spoken into existence. You see, the world cannot see the origin of stuff, but we can. It's the invisible God. The world cannot see the value of life, but we can through the payment of Jesus Christ on the cross. The world cannot see the future, but we can to a degree. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." We can know our future. Real faith enables God's perception, it enables God's perspective, and real faith enables God's power. Because faith enables us to understand what others cannot understand, because faith enables us to see what others cannot see, real faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Oswald Sanders, the director of China Inland Missions, once said, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as the present and the invisible as seen. George Mueller said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. He says, there is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. He says, faith begins where man's power ends. Real faith enables God's power. And that is precisely what we find demonstrated in the remainder of chapter 11. In fact, in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. He says, nothing will be impossible for you. Real faith is not simply affirming something to be true because we want it to be. Real faith is not believing something in spite of the evidence. Real faith is not a feeling. A believer was once asked, do you feel that your sins are forgiven? And after he thought about it a minute, he said, no, I don't always feel that my sins are forgiven. But I know they are because God says they are. Real faith is believing God. It is believing the truth and responding in accord with it. The circumstances, and I don't know what circumstances you're going through in life right now, but the circumstances may seem impossible. The consequences may seem frightening, but faith is confidence in and conviction from God. One night, a house caught fire, and a young boy who lived in an upstairs bedroom was forced to flee, actually out onto the roof of the house as the house was being consumed now with fire and smoke. Mom and Dad made it out, but in the smoke and as the fire engines were arriving, Dad could see his son up there kind of engulfed in all of that smoke, and he hollered up to his son, jump and I'll catch you. And the son was saying, I can't see you. All he could see was this wall of smoke and fire bellowing out, and then spotlights from the fire engine shining up on him. And the father keeps yelling, "Jump, jump, I will catch you." And the young boy, he protests, says, "Daddy, I can't see you. I can't see you. I can't jump." To which the father replied, he says, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters. That's all that matters. God sees where we are. He sees where we are." Real faith is confidence in God alone. His will, His word, His power. And only those things done through faith in God please Him. Because there is nothing, nothing more practical, intelligent, and powerful than faith in God. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you once again for who you are, the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God. Lord, you know exactly where we are, what we are doing, the words we are saying, even the thoughts we are thinking. And I pray, Lord, that regardless of which we are doing, that we would just trust you. Thank you for your goodness and the fact that in trusting you, we can know not only our future, Lord, but the fact that you only want what is best for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.